Welcome to the Orthoactivist Podcast. I'm your host, Bradley Coffey, and I am the manager of government affairs at the American Alliance of Orthopedic Executives. The episodes in this series will focus on the personalities in Congress, policy debates in the legislative and executive branches, and how those affect orthopedic practice management. The information contained in these podcasts comes from my interactions on Capitol Hill, as well as the newspapers, blogs, and websites covering healthcare policy. A quick note, if you have ideas for topics that you'd like covered in the podcast, please email me at advocacy@aaoe.net to provide suggestions.
To build a future of quality healthcare, we must trust patients and doctors to make medical decisions and empower them with better information and better options. We share a common goal, making healthcare more affordable and accessible for all Americans.
Now is the season for action. Now is when we must bring the best ideas of both parties together and show the American people that we can still do what we were sent here to do. Now is the time to deliver on healthcare.
On this episode, I'll be giving you a rundown of developments in the health policy universe for the week of January 29th, 2018. New Secretary of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, took up residence in the Hubert H. Humphrey Building of HHS this week, beginning the Azar era at the department. I would say that we can expect to see HHS continue to reform payment models to focus on value-based care and an embrace of market principles to regulate the cost of healthcare. I think we'll also start to see the department attempt to address the high cost of prescription drugs, as the president has indicated this is a priority for his administration. But it is unclear just how far the new secretary will go on this matter. It's important to note that Azar does come to HHS after 7 years at drug manufacturer Eli Lilly, and the jury is really still out on how committed Azar will be to decreasing drug costs. Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and J.P. Morgan Chase announced plans this week to enter the healthcare arena and collaborate on a nonprofit venture to provide healthcare services to their employees. Don't panic yet. This is likely to take years to get off the ground and operational. However, it does have major implications for government action in the healthcare economy. If successful, the program could be expanded and we could see a repeal or drastic reform of the Affordable Care Act and other health policies in the future. The Wall Street Journal does indicate that part of the plans for this effort is the creation of a health data warehouse, which could be used to track outcomes and select preferred providers, track beneficiary adherence to care plans, etc. This venture could also mean an expansion of telemedicine opportunities. Many states would have to allow for an expansion of telemedicine beyond behavioral health and primary care, and telemedicine groups are using the Amazon announcement to gear up for lobbying campaigns in state capitals to accomplish this. It was disclosed this week that health fitness devices and apps such as Fitbit and the Apple Watch could have national security implications after GPS maps were published showing likely sensitive surveillance sites and military bases overseas. The White House and the Department of Defense have acknowledged that they are looking into the issue and are considering a ban or tightened rules regarding the devices, and Congress also wants to further investigate the issue. This is one area the Advocacy Council is exploring to determine the ability of these wearable devices to support patient adherence to care plans. All of you know that this is incredibly important as Medicare continues to march towards value-based reimbursement, and patients sticking with their treatments can lower the costs of care and limit unnecessary readmissions and office visits. The president gave the annual State of the Union this week to a joint session of Congress and received positive reviews for staying on message. The speech was light on health care, but the president did tout repeal of the individual mandate of the Affordable Care Act back in December and did not call for further repeal efforts. I think that this could mean several things. The administration is going to stop its congressional repeal efforts, in part because the current narrative is that they were able to get rid of the core of the law, meaning that individual mandate. I think it could also mean that the administration and the Republican-controlled Congress is simply going to take a breather on repeal efforts during the election year so that they can try to maximize their chances to maintain their congressional majorities. If you remember anything from last year, it's that the debates surrounding health care were often quite toxic. And, or I think it could also mean that the administration realizes that without the ability to use budget reconciliation this year. Congress passed the 2018 budget in October, allowing them to use reconciliation for tax reform. They simply don't have the votes in the normal legislative process to try to repeal the law in its entirety this year. I think the most likely meaning of is option three, as Politico is reporting that during Congressional Republicans' leadership retreat this week, the party agreed to abandon their plans for Affordable Care Act repeal this year because they simply don't have the votes in the Senate to repeal the law. Remember, it takes 60 votes to move legislation in the Senate under normal legislative rules, and Republicans only have a majority of 51. The Food and Drug Administration held an open hearing on opioid abuse this week. During the hearing, representatives from Health IT Now and the National Council for Prescription Drug Programs called on the federal government to create a nationwide database of opioid prescriptions. They argued that state prescription drug monitoring programs are not efficient in flagging opioid abusers across state lines. The House Energy and Commerce Telecommunications Subcommittee held a hearing this week on rural broadband, which is under consideration by the Advocacy Council for inclusion in the 2018 public policy agenda. The White House draft infrastructure plan, which was leaked last week, did not include separate funding for rural broadband, and neither did any of the 25 bills under consideration by the committee. Telecommunications industry witnesses and committee Democrats were insistent that separate funding is necessary to ensure that broadband deployment in rural areas occurs and is not sidelined for other infrastructure projects. Subcommittee Chair Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, which is a predominantly rural state, has said that she is supportive of separate funding and expects it to be in any infrastructure package that Congress sends to the president this year. Congress is once again struggling to reach a long-term funding deal, setting us up for another government shutdown or a continuing resolution on February 8th. Politico is reporting that the two sides are closer than ever on a deal, but the deal leaves fiscal conservatives in the cold as it would raise Congress's budget caps by $300 billion over 2 years, thereby increasing the federal deficit. The Politico report indicates that negotiators are weighing moving a popular Veterans Choice program from the discretionary side of the federal budget over to the mandatory side of the federal budget, thereby freeing up about $20 billion under the existing spending caps, and this would make sure that the Veterans Choice program is funded each year that it is authorized. These were the top stories of the past week in health policy in Washington, D.C. I want to thank you for joining us for this episode of the Ortho Activist Podcast. If you have suggestions for future episodes, I want to encourage you to email advocacy@aaoe.net to submit your suggestion. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to see you back here next week.